Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yikes. 5 on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, Alex Toledo, Brady Hawk, and others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Also, make sure to subscribe to Off the Floor for the most heat anywhere.
All right, welcome into Floor is Yours. It is December 3rd. We have gotten into the kind of the middle month of the season. December, January is where things start getting going. I know as Christmas comes along, you know, people start really paying into the NBA, but we talk about this every week. We appreciate you guys coming in here. This week I have Timmy as always, and then I have a new guest this week, Digital Adele, our friend that's always with us on playback and doing all kinds of different things, doing draft prospects. We might get in a little bit of that tonight too, talk about that piece of things. So before we do that, we do have to make sure we thank our sponsor, Eric Rubenstein. He supports Floor is Yours, and I'm going to let Ethan pay the bills by doing his ad read.
Floor is Yours is sponsored every single week by our friend, Eric Rubenstein. You can find him at ericrubenstein.com or Attorney Rubenstein on Instagram, and you can often find him near the floor at Heat Games. That's why he sponsors Floor is Yours. You'll find him hanging out with Rick Ross. But what he does in his day job is he represents you if you have a car accident. So reach out to him, magna cum laude, St. Thomas University, South Florida, born and bred from Lauderhill. This is the guy that you want to go to. He will help you get what you deserve if you have a car accident. So check him out, ericrubenstein.com or Attorney Rubenstein. Huge Miami Heat fan. Check him out today.
And in addition to Eric, we just want to talk about the Discord that we have, Off the Floor. It is a great place to talk basketball. There is a million different channels, every topic you can possibly think of. There are people talking basketball. When you wake up in the morning, myself, I know all of us work, wake up around 7 in the morning, there's people talking about Heat. You know, you wake up, they go to lunch, people talking about Heat. Nighttime, people talking about Heat. I'm in the middle of the night, it seems like it's never stopped. So it is a great place if you want to be with like-minded people, obsessed basketball fanatics. And you get a lot of different opinions in there. That's what I like about it, is that it's a diverse crowd of people that talk about all different types of basketball. So we're going to do that tonight too, also on Floor is Yours. And really the topic that we are thinking about here is we're getting into December and, you know, you're at that magical 20 game mark for a lot of teams. Some teams have already played 20 games, and that is where teams start to evaluate where they are at. And there are some teams around the league that are not where they wanted to be, quite frankly. And this is that time where you can't just hit the eject button. It's not fantasy basketball, but we wanted to start talking about, you know, just different teams around the league and how we may start to see some pivots. And we're not going to start with the Heat. We're going to put them on the side burner, just keep that simmering for a little while. Let me talk about a team that we have had, I think, on every Floor is Yours so far, Timmy. The Philadelphia 76ers. Philadelphia 76ers currently are 4-14 on the season. They have had a myriad of injuries. They are playing poorly even when they are all healthy. They really haven't all been healthy. But what, Timmy, just thinking about the Sixers as a whole, and what would you do if you were the Sixers? How do you pivot? What do you try? I mean, not every solution is going to be trades in this exercise by any means, but what types of things did you try to fix the Philadelphia 76ers with?
It hurts me as a Bohemian to say this. Eric Gordon doesn't have it anymore. Like, I don't know if he gave his soul, his heart and soul to our team during the summer where he looked amazing, but he just doesn't have it. I think you need to see it too with the younger guys like Rookie Council. And, we know McHale is maybe not going to be as great as he was anymore because Maxey and George is back, but see Jovan McCain, see Jovan Rookie Council. For the life of me, I said it 2 weeks ago, you should not be starting Caleb Martin at Shabar forward. Maybe you start Yabu. Maybe people are talking about how the Heat players fall off when they leave Miami, but only certain things can only work in Miami system. It's clearly not working out that Caleb Martin is just starting power forward. See Jovan Yabu. The game when they actually like look pretty good. They had KJ Martin starting at center. He's not going to be a center, but maybe play him some more. Like, you have talent on your bench. Nothing's going to happen anyway. Like, at this point, you're still waiting for Embiid to come back. See what you have with these other guys. I know they signed Martin just to super trade them at the deadline, but play. This current mix is not working. And I've been a big fan of Nick Nurse over the years because he knows how to mix and match, like a crazy scientist like Spoltra. So see what you have. I know you pay Caleb big money, but you don't start them. But yeah, just, and we know, we've seen McCain and Maxey before. We've seen CJ and Dame, two small guys in the backcourt. I'm not going to do it. We've seen Hero and Rozier. We've seen CJ and whoever else they have in New Orleans. Maybe you put a bigger guard next to Maxey. We know Maxey is a star. He's a stud. And he's going to be the face of this franchise in a few years. But try something else.
Adele, what's your takes on the Sixers so far?
I just want to play my guy Crash. Get Adam Bonet in the game. Let him run into people. Energy. Foul out in 5 minutes. I don't know. The real question is this, right? How far does this team go with Joel Embiid playing, I don't know, once every 10 games? You know, how far are they going to go? Not very far. Paul George, up in age, got hurt. Not surprising. Jarrett McCain, promising young piece. I like KJ. I like Martin, man. The young Martin can play, man. He's athletic, brings a lot of energy. So I say lean into the young guys. I always say that. You want to lean into the young guys, jettison some of that salary, try to see if you can get something for them and start building a nucleus that can be somewhat competitive when Joel Embiid is invariably hurt. Because I think that's kind of the way you got to set this thing up, is have some redundancy, a big that can actually get you some buckets. I mean, he's not going to be very good for the cost, you know, because Joel Embiid's taking up a lot of salary, but sure. You need somebody that can kind of replace that spot whenever he leaves the floor.
And one thing that I think, and I don't know anything specific about Embiid's injury, but I feel like it's similar in a lot of ways to when we talk about Jimmy's past and current injuries, right? That, like, not knowing on a day-to-day basis if Joel is going to be there or not. Like, you've been seeing the Sixers, like, a couple days ahead of time. Like, all right, Joel is going to be out Monday and Tuesday, or, you know, Tuesday and Thursday. I would almost like to see, hey, he's out for a month. Just, like, don't keep guessing week by week, day by day. And maybe that is because they just don't know, you know, like, he's trying to come back, but he can't. I don't want to, like, assume that he's not trying, but I feel like it's hard for a coach. It's hard for a team to just continually, like, every few days, keep getting those updates. Like, I'm a Joel Embiid fantasy owner and it frustrates me. So I can't imagine how Nick Nurse feels and his teammates feel. We're talking about real basketball. It just seems like it's very complicated. And I don't feel like, at least in my opinion, like, what are you going to do? You can't trade him. Like, if you're trading him, you're trading him at, like, literally the bottom of his value. So what are you getting back? You know, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And Paul George, in a couple of weeks, you can probably – he's eligible to be traded. But what do you – I mean, really, like, that quick? You can't pull the plug on that. You're not trading Maxey. Like, what are you doing? I think to Adele's point, I think to Timmy's point, like, just changing, shuffling around and trying to make it work. And we're familiar with that here in Miami. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Let's pivot a little bit and just kind of look, not necessarily at one team at the bottom of the East, but like you got Brooklyn, you got Detroit, you got Chicago. Like you have a bunch of teams. I had to say this, the Heat, the Pacers, and then below them, Charlotte has 6 wins. All those teams I just mentioned had 9 wins. Toronto has 6 wins. Philly's got 4 and Washington's got 2. As you're looking at the bottom half of the East, just what types of teams may be potentially like, let's get these guys out of there. Like some names that you see on that bottom half of the East. So looking at like, let's eliminate Miami from this because we'll get into them specifically, but Indiana, Chicago, Detroit, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Toronto, Washington. Any names that stand out on those teams that may be eligible? Not necessarily stars, but just guys that I might want to be able to be a seller on the bottom of that Eastern Conference. I'll start with Adele this time.
Yeah, so for me, Washington seems like a perfect spot to start because they're all the way at the bottom, you know, 2-16. They have Kyle Kuzma, they have Jordan Poole, and these two guys just are stifling the development of their young players. Bob Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly. When both of these guys were injured, watching the game, the offense just flowed and it was free and they were playing together, playing for each other. When those guys come in the game, the ball just stops. Very familiar in Miami. And it just seems like they're really stifling the growth of the young guys. So I could see the Washington Wizards jettisoning some players. I could also see Brooklyn and then also Detroit. And I'll stop with Detroit and let Timmy and you get some info in there. But here's what I want to say about Detroit. Detroit's doing the exact same thing. They are blocking their young talent, just destroying the minutes distribution by playing people like Tim Hardaway Jr. and getting these veteran guys in here that are blocking their young guys. So if you're interested in some gently used Tim Hardaway Jr., I think he's going to be on the market and on the move. So those are the teams that I see on the bottom of the East that could have movement for players.
Before I swing it to Timmy, on this Washington roster, not getting specific into what the details of a trade would be, but anybody you see that would be something of interest for you if you're the Miami Heat?
Oh, geez. Kyle Kuzma is the hot topic, right? Like it's all over, you know, Twitter/X, former Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And I'm all out on Kyle Kuzma. I don't really see Kyle Kuzma being the answer. I don't see Valanciunas, right? Like Valanciunas is the big. I don't see him being the answer in Miami as the perfect big next to Bam, as Sean always says. And so I'm all out on all those guys. Before, I don't want to get into what Miami's going to do, but you know me, just bring me the draft picks. Just give me the draft picks.
If I had to pick someone.
No, you are a professional for not laughing during that comment. Timmy, go ahead.
It'll have to be Brogdon just because he's the only person who could run an offense, who we would have on that team. Because when is the last time we had an actual floor general? Like when? Mike Bibby? Chalmers? So maybe Brogdon. But you brought up the Pistons, and yeah, I agree because they're playing Simon Fontenecchio and Malik Beasley and Hardaway. When they have Ron Holland there, I'm happy also is back from the blood clots. Paul Reed, I thought he was going to get some minutes. I don't know what's happening there, but there's like a roller coaster right now of who's healthy. I agree. Kuz is definitely a 6'9", Terry Rozier. If I were to, I wouldn't mind a beef stew, just because he and I want to shout out JB Bickerstaff. For some reason last year Monty wanted beef stew to be a stretch big, and now beef stew just blocks, rolls, dunks, like that's it. Like he does nothing else and does it well. If I were to get a playoff off the Pistons, but I do think there's going to be a gold mine in Brooklyn. And it's the usual suspects, Cam Johnson and DFS. Everyone's going to talk about the Ben Simmons expiring, but nobody wants that.
When you were talking about beef stew, are you talking about in general terms, or are you talking about in relation to the Heat?
In relation to the Heat.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a actual center on okay. Miami. But yeah, like a Clark.
I mean, he makes. I mean, $15 million. Honestly, I think it sounds like a lot of money.
But it's not. That's the mid level.
Yeah, that's the mid level. Yeah. And for a young, essentially a guy that I would say really is slotting in more as a backup big, but could play bigger minutes. He doesn't have the same skill set by any means. But I think of like a Naz Reid that for years was
also women.
In that role and like obviously continue to get better and better and better. And I think Naz Reid is much better than Beef Stew, but I do like the way that he plays. He definitely fits that grit and grind Miami Heat type basketball. I'm not one that's necessarily a put a five next to Bam guy. But and
something you said crossed my mind yesterday, Sean, I was gonna bring it up tonight. I saw, I think it was who someone said it. That the Magic are playing the way an old Pat Riley team would play. Like they enjoy playing defense. Like we need some of those guys back. We need guys who want to see you crumble when they play defense. You know, like that's why I would like a Beef Stew on this team because Bam is I love Bam. Bam isn't like angry when he plays basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like we need some angry players.
Yeah, and Tim Hardaway obviously his connections to Miami. His dad has mentioned multiple times about wanting him to play in Miami, and all that sounds great. What intrigues me the most is he got an expiring contract. Like, as we go through this exercise in any future episode from now to February, I will continue to just look at expiring contracts. Dan, don't start with me, man. I did not say five next to Bam. It was bad connection. You must have heard, it must have been buffering when I said that. I will take expiring contracts to get out of literally – almost any of our contracts, especially obviously Terry Rozier. But I want to be fair, and we're not going to get too deep into like the mechanics of trades. But like, if you're Detroit, why the hell do you want Terry Rozier? Like, there's no reason, and I'm not going to attach anything to get rid of him. I would just have to just suck it. Like, it sucks. Adele, go ahead. You said you had a counterpoint.
Yeah, I like the idea of us getting bigger, the Miami Heat getting bigger, functional size, right? Like that's something I like the idea of. What I don't really care for, though, is somebody that's going to be a park it in the middle of the paint type of guy because the spacing is down horrendous already, right? Like he's going to occupy the exact same spaces where Bam likes to operate, where, you know, if Jimmy's still here, where Jimmy likes to operate. Mm-hmm. I just think we need somebody. If they're going to be a big, not just a backup big, but somebody that can actually stretch the floor a little bit. I don't mind if they're, I like the length and like athleticism, but on the offensive end, we're going to be right back where we started. So like Sean, I'm just looking to dump salary and accumulate picks more than the actual player itself.
Yeah, and I think the guys that were brought up from Brooklyn, obviously, look, I mean, Ben Simmons, that $40 million expiring contract is the most appealing thing about him. He does, and I've said this in our Discord, like I do not foresee any way that you can make a trade that you're going to get Ben Simmons because it requires you essentially to trade a Jimmy as part of a package. And I'm not doing a Jimmy for Ben Simmons and DFS. Like that doesn't make sense. As much as you may want to get off of Jimmy, or you might want to get out of Terry, like this, it just doesn't make sense. The math, to make the math work, it doesn't make sense. However, this summer, if you can get Ben Simmons on like a very much low prove it deal and put him with Spo, I just believe in his natural abilities. I know his weaknesses. I know, to Adele's point, the stretching of the floor and the inability for spacing with Bam, it doesn't really make sense. But I just still think of that, like always going back to like the days of Pat Riley, always liking those big point guards, the Lamar Odom type guys, like not a point guard, but like just size. Now, functional size, Ben Simmons is functional size. The biggest weakness in his game is the reason why it won't work, especially if you still have Jimmy Butler. Now, if Jimmy's gone, it kind of changes things. Not that Ben Simmons can replace Jimmy Butler. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But, like, he's just a guy that I would not give him a lot of money, but I'd be willing to gamble on for a year, can he come to us and can we fix him? or can we get him right?
But let's talk about the Frankenstein child. Yes, I can save him.
Like him, like the all the stuff we love, like Nico, the point Nico stuff. Ben does that already. Like he averages 6-7 assists. He can rebound. He has size. He can guard. We just know what he can't do. He can't score. Can't shoot. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's a home run. I'm not saying that I would be pissed off if they don't do it, but I just feel like he's that guy that I would gamble on his natural talent that has been shown, but has been non-existent for many, many, many years. What about, I mean, Cam Johnson, he fits the mold now of there's a shooter and he gives you functional size. Cause he's probably what? 6'8", 6'9", probably.
6'6", 6'7". Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. A little shorter than I thought.
He's also a pit guy.
He can stroke that thing. So what, I mean, $23 million over 3 years, it's a lot of money. He is a guy that would help spread the floor. And I know DFS.
He could get his own shot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yes.
I'd much rather take a flyer on Schroeder than Ben Simmons. I mean, the answer is yes.
What are you sending out though? Now that we're obviously being specific to the Heat in this case, because these are going to be guys that if I'm Brooklyn, my doors are wide open. I'm 24/7. Like I'm open on weekends.
You have Cooper Flagg, you have VJ, you have so many options.
They should be trying to trade Ben, Bogey. I mean, if you want to trade Cam, you can do that, obviously. You could trade Claxton if you want. But they have guys that are easy. The DFSs are going to be guys that, you know, are going to be – people are going to target them. Schroeder's going to be the same way because it's an expiring contract. It's a decent amount of money. Like, it's affordable for anybody that's a contender to get those two guys. But what if you're –
I saw Mike Scotto said that he thinks it'll be 5 second-round picks in total for DFS and Cam to go. Not Cam, DFS and Shorter. That's his opinion. 5 seconds.
And first of all, Miami doesn't even have those fucking picks. But if we did, I'm not trying to add to this roster. Like if we could conceivably do that, adding DFS for 5 second round picks doesn't exist in a trade machine. But that doesn't change anything of our path, right?
Not at all.
Do we want to pivot out of the East? We want to talk about the top half a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about the top half.
So obviously these would be, now we're flipping the page and we're talking about guys that we buyers, not sellers. So, you know, right now the standings look like this. The Cavs, the Celtics are up top. The Magic with 15 wins with the Paolo injury is just incredible. I credit to them. The Knicks have kind of righted the ship. They're at 12-8 right now. The Bucks have started to play a little bit better basketball, 10-9. And then you have the Hawks right there in the middle at 11-11 in the sixth seed. So talking about the top six seeds, who do you think should be buyers? Any ideas of people that they should target? What do you think about that top half? Timmy.
So we know the Knicks are going to get back Mitch Robinson and Precious Achiuwa eventually. If you guys look at what they sent you in the group, the Knicks have the best offensive rating, but they are garbage juice in defense. And we expected that. And I said it when the trade happened, Cavs are going to boost their offense and tech their defense. We know they have the perimeter defense, but they are – Cavs is averaging like – it's basically a gimme at the rim. So Mitch is going to help. Precious Achiuwa is some type of defender in the paint, but he rolls hard, he gets rebounds. They need to see if they could get Walker Kessler. If there's not too expensive, just one more center, because again, Cal is as healthy as one would think. Like he's missed a lot of games. Oh, when Sean left, he's missed a lot of games the last few years. So I think that they're gonna perimeter up, but I mean you have Josh Hart averaging eight rebounds. I know it's a wonky fit, but you need to get a bit more interior defense for them. But I think they're gonna wait until they get Mitch back. Now, if January comes and he still can't play, then you have to make a trade. Like, you cannot go into the playoffs with Cat and Jericho Sims as your centers. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, Walker Kessler is another name that I think will pop up quite often. The Utah Jazz in general, like I talked about the Nets, they should be 24/7 every day. They're open for business. Walker Kessler obviously makes a very little amount of money. He kind of has had a weird path where, like, he was great as a rookie, then his role kind of dropped out last year. And but he can play. I like his ability and the things that he can do. But Utah is going to be very willing to sell on him because they're definitely in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
And I saw a tweet where they said he should do 25 minutes, but when he plays too much, they win too much.
Yeah. And they have, you know, Colin Sexton, I feel like, is a guy that, you know, that he has 2 years left on his deal, but he could be a guy. Jordan Clarkson, like, they don't want these guys around necessarily because they're trying to tank. But can these guys go after, you know, if you're a contender, are you trying to go after them? John Collins in a similar way.
I could see Clarkson helping a team.
Yeah, for sure. And they don't have a lot of expiring contracts. You can see kind of looking here. I know it's not great on the stream to see zoomed out like that, but there's guys that can help contenders, but there are pieces that they're going to want to keep around. I mean, Filipowski has been playing. I don't know if it's opportunity more so than ability. I wasn't really necessarily sold on him out of the draft, but, you know, I liked Keyondé George last year. I like what he can do. And I like Taylor Hendricks, although I believe he's hurt right now.
That was a player who I really look forward to seeing his growth, but he's out for the season.
Yeah.
I was praying for him.
I mean, if we're going to spin this to the Miami thing, John Collins and Colin Sexton, I feel like these guys have been rumored to the Heat since they were probably in middle school. I'm just going to say, and I'll spin it to you guys, like, John Collins has a player option next year for $26 million. If I'm his agent, I'm definitely taking that. Colin Sexton's contract at $18 million, $19 million next year, that's a good value contract. But, like, I don't want to add salary, to be honest with you. So I don't know. But what do you guys feel about Colin and Collins?
The thing is, they're trying to tank. So yeah, it's not
would,
like
they would love Terry. They would
right.
Love
Terry. So
that is a great point. That is a great point. He could dribble them right into the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
That's right. He could dribble them directly to Cooper Flagg, like, not even to the sweepstakes, like, right to Cooper Flagg. He could dribble you there.
Right to his goal.
So, I mean, if you're trading guards, I mean, it kind of makes a little bit of sense to take Collins, you know, to Miami. But the thing is, again, for the Miami side of this, he doesn't change. Colin Sexton doesn't change the calculus of this team. So you're taking him his salary on for the next 2 years. Are you getting any draft picks back for it?
He's cheaper than Terry, right? Isn't Terry in the 20s?
Let's see. Colin Sexton is 26. He's got to be younger than Terry.
No, he is younger than Terry. But I mean,
about the salary.
Oh, Colin. Yeah, Colin Sexton makes $18 million, and Terry makes more. So, and if I'm Utah, looking at their salary sheet, like, I don't think they would be worried about the fact that Terry makes 24 and then 26.
Right. So for the answer to Dale's point, like, he would save about $5 million. So it doesn't change. It might not be.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That much of a talent, but that $5 million is a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot.
And for Utah, you're not worried. It's not like they're trying to have a bunch of cap space this summer in order to
entice them. You know,
yeah. So like having that second year there, while it is more, but I feel like if I'm Utah and you're like, hey, I'll give you Terry for Colin, they're like, why? And what do we attach? Like, I'm not attaching. It'd have to be a small salary or a pick.
I got one for you. What about Sexton and Kessler for Terry and Richardson salary wise? That would work.
Do you want me to pack the suitcase myself?
Well, yeah, yes.
But why would Utah do that?
Because they're tanking.
Well, yeah.
They could probably get a better deal though.
They probably could. I don't see any scenario where it works is what I'm saying for the Heat.
Remember that Danny Ainge, he wants two firsts for Kessler.
Oh, that's right. It's Danny Ainge. It's definitely not going to work.
Yeah. I think if I'm Utah and we don't have the pick chest to get to them, but like I'm asking for where Jaime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jokic, those guys.
Right.
Just don't, you know, I don't know how you incentivize them. Besides the fact that they're like, damn, Terry is bad.
He That's it. That's the incentive.
They're like, give us Terry, TB, and Jay Rich. Like, we see.
I will fly to Miami myself and pack their suitcases.
We see Cooper Flagg in our dreams with those three. That's right.
If you're like Boston is obviously, I would say, the favorite for sure. If you're Cleveland or you're Orlando, we talked a little bit about New York. If you're Cleveland or Orlando, what types of things are you trying to do? Are you trying to vault yourself into a spot where you think you have a better chance? I'm not going to say they don't have a chance. Boston is good. They're not that good. But, like, what do you do if you're them? Do you continue forward or do you try to add something? And if there's something you would think of in terms of who would you add?
For Orlando?
Either Orlando.
I think they could use Kessler, actually. I think Kessler in Orlando would work very well. Because they have all the guards. We've said that forever. All the wings and guards that you could ever want. I think Kessler would play a big role for them come playoff time. So that's really one that I think sticks.
Yeah, I actually don't know what you give Orlando because, again, they have. Even though Castle's a good point, they still have Goga, they have Mo, they have Isaac, they have so many big players. But maybe I agree, another solid center. For the Cavs, Strus was great for them last year, and he hasn't played yet. I guess maybe he's a shooter they're missing. I saw Spider got hurt just now, but he got back into the game. Ty Jerome, who nobody thought was going to do anything this year, is a top three, six-man of the year candidate right now. And has allowed Spider to just play very low minutes. Who was the backup center on the Cavs? So I replaced Tristan. I get, and again, maybe just if possible, another center, because we know Jared Allen is not the healthiest.
Yeah. Obviously, you can shift Mobley to the five in lineups.
I really hope
plays big, yeah. But yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, there that's maybe somewhere that they could add to a piece there. But I wouldn't do anything drastic with them. Like, if I would be a value buyer versus I'm trying to change the dynamics of my roster in any real big way. Let's shift over to the West real quick and look at the bottom. So, you know, you have the Pelicans and the Jazz. They have four wins each. The Blazers at 8 wins, Kings at 9 wins, which is you know, definitely a disappointment for them. And same thing with the Minnesota Timberwolves, 10-10 right now. Spurs, 11 wins, playing better than I think many people maybe thought. The Nuggets are at 10 wins, a little bit, you know, in flux. And then the Lakers have kind of started to settle back into where people thought they were. So bottom half of the West, and things are, I think, shifting a little bit in a way. But looking at the real bottom, New Orleans, Utah, Portland, And I guess Sacramento in Minnesota, you got to throw them into that group, even though they're probably teams that may elevate. What are you thinking at the bottom there? Is there anyone that you would see as a target that not just Miami, but in general, that maybe could be a seller?
A question that really intrigued me. I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to step over you. Is what happens with De'Aaron Fox? I know he's a name holding out. What'd you say, Sean?
I was going to say he's a name that continually is coming up.
His words are very pointed over the summer. I'm not going to take this extension because my bros, Bob and Tatum, they at least made a finals and won a championship. Why would I sign this extension if we ain't doing nothing yet? Mm-hmm. And those words ring in my ass every time I see them lose a game. Every single time they lose a game, I remember, why do I sign an extension?
So and they're 9-12.
He just got a new shoe deal. He has some awesome shoes on the Curry. That boy wants to spread his wings. No, shout out to Sonic. Sonic movies coming out a little bit. You know, the little fox tails. He would leave Sacramento pretty soon.
And what I just noticed,
as a Miami fan, for Fox, if the Heat could, what would you give for Fox?
Well, I mean, if you're trading him, obviously it's one of those scenarios where you're probably going to need him to say, "I want to be in Miami,"
right?
And then that knocks the value down slightly. I mean, if you're Sacramento, are you incentivized to take Jimmy?
For what? What are they playing? You think?
I don't. Like, Sacramento, if you're trading Fox, you're picking a direction, right? Like, right. You're either trying to find a way to swap stars and then continue to contend. And I say contend in quotes because, I mean, obviously they've been good over the last few years, but I wouldn't say they're a contender.
Jimmy and DeMar DeRozan on the same floor? Oh, my God.
It's a boss. Oh, goodness.
The spacing jail.
Okay. But then if you're not trading him, then you're trading Tyler.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like I'm not saying that Tyler is equal to De'Aaron Fox, but Sabonis, Tyler, DeRozan, who is, you know, in the tail end, but he's. I would rather, if I'm Sacramento, I'd rather have Tyler than Jimmy. Not that I think Tyler is necessarily a better player, but I think it gives me a better base.
It's definitely a better base to build around. I agree.
Especially relative to age. Mm-hmm. The other thing this brings me to my ultimate point about Miami. Everything we say, we're like, do they really want Jimmy? Is Tyler, the assets that we're peddling aren't really getting us very much.
And shout out to Matt, because I did not know this. Orlando Robinson does play for the Kings. He cannot be traded until December 15th if you can't read that fine print. And right below him, 10 years older, Jay Crowder also on there. So these could be like secret agents that are in the Sacramento locker room telling Mr. Fox how great it is in Miami when it's warm and all those different things. So
there it is.
That is interesting. What do you do? I mean, we just talked about Sacramento. If you're Minnesota, like they are 10-10 right now, do you panic? Are you trying to change? Like, you obviously had that big change with the trade of Kat and Julius Randle. Is there any reaction to what they should be doing? I mean, they're not.
Trade Julius. I don't know to who for where, but it ain't working. I've seen the slouched shoulders, the tantrums. Aunt is pissed off saying we are selfish, we are losers. It's the vibes are not good over there. It's not. The vibes are bad. And is this where our team... Sean has an idea.
I mean, is there a refund policy? How many years after a trade can you send someone back to a certain place? Is Jimmy... Jimmy for Julius?
Is Julius expiring? No, I don't want Julius.
Player option just like Jimmy.
No. Nope.
I don't like it either. You'd have to give... Yeah, no.
Only if it was an expiring, Sean. Stick to your own law.
Yeah, if I go ahead and ask you as well.
But you're not contending.
Jimmy and Yam for Julius and Rudy?
Goodbye.
But like, here's my thing, though. You said you'd take...
Good night.
You want Naz Reid, but we only want Naz Reid if we're contending for something. Like, Naz Reid isn't helping you win a chip if you're trading Jimmy and all. That's the problem with this build. There's nice role player pieces we can get, but for to what end?
For so and you, we have no contracts to get them.
I know, that's the other problem.
Well, and let me pull up the Heat's just to kind of reference as we talk about that. I think that is a topic that
disgusting.
If you look, I mean, like, you know, we have these really high contracts, and Jimmy, and as much as we've been poking at Bam the last couple of days, like, Bam's not getting traded. So you got Jimmy at $48 million. He's got a year left at 52, which is probably the direction this is heading anyways. Then you drop down sort of a level, and you have Tyler and Terry at 29 and 24. Both of them have 2 to 3 years left on their contract. You got Duncan's, which can become expiring. It's non-guaranteed part of that contract. But, you know, if you're a team, you're not trading for Duncan at $19 million and then eating $10 million of salary. He has too much value, even when he's shooting as poorly as he did last night. And then you go from $19 million to the next contract is 5.2. So to Bell's point, like someone like Naz Reid that makes like, I think it was like $11 million or something like that. You either have to add two, you know, you have to get it close. I think it's within 15, 20%, whatever it is. You just don't have that gap in between 19 and 5 are just so hard to find those guys that fit. And then to your point, are you adding a DFS to a team that isn't actually contending? And then why are you doing that unless it's solely for the purpose of adding an expiring contract? It's just like you're. Yes, we are all starved for change, and I think we're all at that point. But like a trade for a trade doesn't make sense.
What cost?
Yeah, and especially if there is an additional cost, and we learned that lesson with the Terry trade. While I think it was a good trade at the time, it didn't change the ultimate ending. I mean, it was supposed to, and it didn't. And some people will say, you know, I knew this the whole time. Whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. We're all stuck in the same shit, anyways. But like, what? I just don't know, like, it's ultimately going to come down to that top guy. The question is, what do you do with Jimmy? Because it's really Jimmy, Terry, Duncan. Those are the guys that you can trade that have any significant salary. Because otherwise, like, yeah, all right, I'll trade Kalel Ware. He has talent. I'll trade Jaime. He's got talent. I'll trade Jovic. He's got talent. Those guys make 5, 4, 3, 2. You know, they don't make enough. Even if you put them all together, you're barely getting to a sizable contract. So it's as much as it's like, it's great to yell and scream about trade this, trade that, you know, it doesn't work as easily once you get to this. And you, the only person to blame is the Heat. Like they made this roster. They made these contracts.
But the roster construction was under the assumption of an old system. A system that allowed them to maneuver and had more flexibility. Now the system is punishing for that style of team building. And that we're stuck with a purgatory build. That's what I call it, the purgatory build. The franchise is too proud to tank, which I agree with. You don't want to start that culture. And they're not good enough to succeed in the playoffs and fight for a championship at this point. So,
yeah, I think the talent is in purgatory too. Like, we're not bad enough to be down there with Utah and those teams. And even if you look at a team like Philly that I would say has more talent than we do, they're down there because you have a lot of new pieces. You've had a lot of injuries and it's just not working for them. Like they're going to rise up eventually and win some games. I just don't think we have the, like you said, we won't make that choice. No. Nor do I think we should necessarily.
No.
But it's almost like we don't have the roster.
Would you trade Terry for 2 smaller contracts just to have 2 smaller contracts?
Meaning 2 expirings or just 2, like,
two, if you took Terry's contract
at 24 and traded for 2 12s, even if it had 4 years?
Or 13 and 11.
I'd trade Terry for anything. He just needs to know. Like, my answer is going to be yes for anything. But I think that does make sense. Or maybe it's one expiring for $12 million and the other one has 2 years left.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best way to, because, like, yeah, that's how I feel as well. Like, even if he isn't starting right now, and if you bring up a $24 million pay off the bench and he isn't really affecting you, turn the salary into something or picks. But you're going to get picks for scary Terry.
Is there any scenario Terry gets you a first in any scenario?
I was just going to say, to Matt's point in the chat, you know, he's been saying this a few times about trying to add draft capital along the way also. I mean, we just traded a first to get Terry. We traded an expiring and a first to get Terry. I don't see that happening again.
Me neither. How many seconds can you get? How many Pella Larsons?
I mean, even you told me I could get an expiring contract in a couple seconds. I'd trade him.
Agreed. I would too.
I would trade Terry for any expiring contract at this point. And you've already lost. If you already had come to the assumption that you've lost that trade, that first isn't coming back.
No.
Right. So if you can get yourself out of that second year of that contract, I think that's a move I would make.
The first will come back if Terry doesn't dribble before shooting.
Oh my God. I'm gonna get dribbling. Look, let's finish things up. We've talked about every kind of level except for the top of the West. So you have the Thunder and Rockets right now at 15 wins. The Grizzlies, who have been playing great basketball with 14 wins, the Warriors at 12 wins, Mavs at 13 wins, Clippers at 13 wins. And I don't think I included the Suns and the Lakers in the last one, 11 wins and 12 wins. So
you did include the Lakers. And what I wanted to say is I think Father Time is here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? He is going to pepper the Heat tomorrow night because we have no luck right now. He's going to end up making like 6 threes tomorrow night. But if you're talking about the top of the West, who in that group do you think should be buyers and what should they be looking for?
Houston, take Jimmy from us.
So I was thinking all night, who would be not too old and maybe the right fit? I think maybe Ingram is who Houston gets, but they can't max him. I don't think they should max him, but I think Ingram is, you don't want a Jimmy or Durant maybe. Too old, but maybe a BI who's like 27, 28, who can fit in with this squad. But I love the Rockets. Ime has these guys playing. If he wasn't just such a, you know, he might have had 2 rings with the Celtics. But I really like what Houston is doing. But they do need an upgraded small forward. I don't know who or what. But maybe it's Brandon Ingram. And look at this. This is gorgeous. 7 mil, 8 mil, 8 mil, 9 mil, 9 mil, 10 mil, 12 mil, 12 mil. They can do so many things.
Okay, but to the point that we made though, okay, Jimmy makes 48. What are you trading?
How are you getting? First of all, you know, it's gonna be Jalen, first of all.
Okay. John
Jabal. That's a lot of players.
John Blanc is going to fucking lose his mind if we have Jalen Green and Tyler Hero.
his notebook's going to go flying.
I'm looking at the clock. It's got to be like what? Like in the middle of the night right now. John just woke up in the middle of it. He has like sweats coming down.
What would the Heat fans give to have Cam Whitmore? Not what we want, but Heat fans at large.
I mean, we got 500 people on here right now, and this Houston destination for Jimmy has been brought up many times. I just don't. What are we? How are you?
It's because he's from there. That's all.
But are they going to give up Jalen Green?
So this apparently they paid him, but they paid him just so he'll be easy to trade. For whichever star comes about.
Okay, but then what do you, you have to add Brooks to it, right?
That's so the person. Realistically, I think you have to, this trade happens in the offseason. I think Jimmy opts in this $52 million. Then you trade Jalen for him. I think that's what's going to happen.
I mean,
it makes it a bit easier if it happens in the next calendar year.
Yeah. I'd rather have Fred Van Fleet.
No, facts. Facts.
Yeah, team option.
Yeah.
They want Terry?
Yeah, Terry. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, you have Steven Adams' expiring contract. You could move him. But I think that it starts with, and I saw this in the chat, that who was it that said it? So I give him credit for saying it. Where are we at? I'm sorry. Somebody said Jabari somewhere. Oh, Mark. There we are. Mark mentioned it. Like, it's either got to be Jabari or Jalen is the starting place. Like, it could be Thompson, but like,
Sengun, they're going to give up on MN Thompson?
Like,
no, I think MN's going to be the starter.
I don't see that.
Sorry. That's what I'm saying. If we're Houston, I mean, you have to give up something to get something. And I don't know what I'm. Jalen is the guy that I think I would give up, but I mean, like, I'm not giving up Jabari with, like, filler salary. Jabari and Steven Adams or Jabari and Dylan Brooks to get Jimmy. I'm just eyeballing math, trying to make it, like, make sense.
Right. But,
like,
I apologize, Timmy. What were you saying?
No, I'm just saying, now looking at the salaries, realistically, it'll have to be in the next NBA year,
right? Yeah.
$23 million to another, like, $10 million. So it'll have to be maybe, like, a Jalen and something like that. Reason.
Let me ask you this, then. Do they just let it play out and let the young guys get the playoff experience? Because that's another route they could take.
Because we've seen what happens when teams cash in too early. You see the
Hawks. Yeah.
You see the Wolves.
Yeah, I that's what I would do. I don't think that I would trade for
Jimmy. Let them get there. Then you could let Fred Van Lee can opt out. You could then send Brooks and Jalen for Jimmy. You know, something.
All right, we're going to end on this one. Warriors are another team that has been brought up as, you know, obviously they are, I would say they're slightly overachieving, 12-7. I mean, they've been playing good basketball. I don't think necessarily they'll finish in the top four, but could potentially do that. And they are a team that has some pieces that could be moved, whether you're talking about the young guys like Kuminga and Moody or Pods, I guess, in a way, but I don't think he's a guy they want to give up on. They have some expiring contracts that they can move. They have some big salaries that they could move. We keep talking Jimmy, obviously, but like, what would you do if you're the Warriors, whether it's Jimmy or not, other trades, like how do you proceed? Because you're kind of playing for Steph's last dance. And I don't know if you can win a championship, but I think you owe it to him to give him the best chance. To compete, you know, and Draymond in that same light. What would you do if you're them as the Golden State Warriors?
This is very difficult because they rely so much on Gary Payton, the second defensively, to come off the bench and give him that energy. I don't know if they would part with him because they make him competitive. And I also don't see them parting with Wiggins, who they kind of need to do it to make it work, because Wiggins for Jimmy, Wiggins is going to be there every night. Jimmy, not so much. So like, you can't really get it done with Looney and Kuminga because then they don't have any bigs.
Yeah. You could give him TB. I mean, he's ready. Great, great on the bench. He claps a lot. I mean,
So I've seen this somewhere before. I've seen that Valanciunas is basically going to be in Golden State next week. Do you really use your only trade chip for JV? Like, they've gotten this far over the years. They've won 4 rings without like a real bruising center. Do you really want to use your main trade chip for JV? I just don't see it. Maybe they are waiting to jump on a. Maybe they hope Jimmy asks out. Then you could do it'll be a lot. It'll have to be Melton, Wiggins, and like one more player for Jimmy. But again, just like Adele said, Jimmy won't be there. He won't be there every night. No, Wiggins, God bless him. He played you some real grief the last 2 years, you know. He had that ankle injury. So I don't know if you want to Sergio Wiggins, he's there every night.
Yeah, Wiggins missed some time, CS dot in the chat. But Wiggins missed some time recently with he lost his father.
His father passed. And last year he left the team to go be with his sick dad. So that was 2 years back to back.
But in terms, and I guess there are some parallels, obviously, with what Jimmy went through last year. But I think we're talking if we're ignoring the personal reasons.
Yeah, just
talking health. Injuries. Yeah, health. Yes.
And Wiggins is a guy that is someone that has 2 years left on his contract plus a player option, so it is a long term salary, and that's to me, I'm not in on that. Like, I don't. Wiggins is still only 29, but that's not what I want. And I don't think you can get to the, like, if you look at Melton, Payton, Looney, that gets you to like 29, almost 30 million, which is close, but then you got to add something more. And then to Adele's point, now you're just carving up the entire roster in order to add one person. It's kind of like those guys play fantasy football. Like, I'll trade you four guys that are my mid-round guys, but I want Christian McCaffrey in this prime. Like, I want that, you know, like, it doesn't make any sense when you do that type of thing. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think that they have the ability to make moves, and I think Jimmy is a good
– actually wondered why they didn't try to get Ingram in the summer.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see that there are a lot of times when we were talking about Ingram, we're talking about Jimmy, those teams are going to be similar. Like, similar salary slot, similar positional need. Zach LaVine is another guy. They're not all the same player by any means, but, like, similar in what
types of – If LaVine was a wing and not a guard, I think he'd be in the Golden State, like, December 15th at 12:01 a.m.
Yeah.
If he was how Ingram could kind of start at the four, like, if LaVine was that, I think he'd be there at 12:01 December 15th.
Let me ask this, and this is going to be our closing question here. And if you're in the chat, we appreciate you guys. Over 500 people joining us live. We appreciate you guys coming in. And this is a pure guess, guys. Tell me, who do you think is the first significant player traded? Usually we have one in December, pre-holiday. There's somebody that gets traded. We've seen, like, Harden got traded. Obviously a weird scenario with that. But what do you think is the first name that is sent in a deal?
Ingram, because he fired his agent and I clutch. And we all know what that means. It's been over in time.
Adele, don't steal my answer, because you know my answer.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.